Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Embodied Business Podcast. I'm so excited to record this episode for you. I'm having a bit of a grumpy day. I don't know why. I kind of feel like, to be honest, as if it's like the full moon and the first day of my period. Neither of which is actually true, but that's how I feel. So it actually is a really wonderful idea to sit down and record this for you because it's a bit of a celebration. I have been in business for 9 years now, last week, and I want to tell you why I'm still around. And it was actually really fun to come up with that list and think about it, you know, what makes my business resilient, what were the key decisions that I think have really allowed me to stay in it for the long haul. So thank you so much for tuning in and celebrating with me. I'm sure this is going to boost my mood. A few updates about my world before I dive in. I have my next leg surgery next week on the 15th of March. If you want to cross your fingers for me, I would love that. I feel good about it. It's been a long time coming and I'm kind of glad that the wait is going to be over soon. But of course, I'm also a little bit nervous about the outcome and recovery. I'm going to take about 4 weeks off client work afterwards, and so I'm currently booking for kind of May and June, and yeah, that's where I'm at the moment. Today, I also had a look through all my courses, and I made a few notes about things that I'm going to update in the coming month, and that felt exciting because I thought there would be a lot, but actually, that's just a few updates. Like, I want to talk about Substack in my newsletter course. I want to give an update on my branding journey for my Branding with Canva course. But otherwise, they still really feel super solid, and that made me happy. And I think it speaks to the longevity of my work that I want to talk to you about today. I also had a chance to talk to the wonderful Amelia of the Off the Grid and Softer Sounds podcast last week, and kind of made me reflect. It was really nice to be on the other side of the podcasting dynamic, if you will, and to be asked some good questions. And so, yeah, some of the things that came up for me, I wanted to share here as well. And of course, I'm going to share the episode with Amelia in my next newsletter as soon as it's out. All right, so the question for today's episode is, why am I still around and what even is resilience in my business? Obviously, I can only speak for my own business. Your resilience might look totally different, but I really hope that some of the things that I'm offering here are useful for you as well, because I know so many people starting out find it really hard to see into the more distant future and to make decisions based on more long-term dreams, but also just to trust the process. I think that can be really hard, especially if you maybe didn't have people around you growing up who were running small businesses, or for all kinds of other reasons, you've, you know, never been encouraged to work for yourself. I know that is true for me as well. All right, so as a long list, I think we have about 10 points here, so let me dive right in. The first one is, I understood early on that I can't be anyone but myself. This is really simple, but I really think that that mattered a lot. Of course, in the very beginning, I would say maybe in year one or two, I looked a lot to the left and right and tried to kind of figure out what everyone else was doing and how I could fit in. I think that is totally normal and human. But there came a point more and more where I recognized that what I have to offer is unique because we all are unique, and really trying to be someone else is not going to be effective, and it's not going to be sustainable either, and it's not going to be fun. So that is like a really leading guideline for me, a guiding star, if you will. The second reason I think I'm still around is that I found a problem and I solved it. So funny story, in 2015, when I started out, I joined this business program, which had thousands of students in them. And I think in week three or four, our homework was to create a WordPress site. And I had gone into that program really not feeling certain about what my business was going to look like, what I wanted to focus on. I obviously knew what I was enjoying and wanted to continue doing, but I just really lacked clarity, basically. And that moment was such a big aha for me, because most people in the group found it really hard to create the WordPress site. And I loved doing it. It was so much fun. I stayed up late into the night to kind of teach myself all these different things. And I just grew it from there, because I found my first two clients in that group by saying, hey, like, actually, I can do this for you. You know, if you want to pay me, that's cool. I love this shit. Just hand it over to me. And that's how I found my first two clients. And because I did a good job for them, they told other people. And it really began with a problem that I identified in the people around me, and I offered them a solution. And I think that way of thinking can sometimes feel a bit like sleazy, because this is not about like bullying people into buying something by pressing on their pain points. I think that's a bit different. And I hope that's, you know, never how what I was trying to do come across. But yeah, I do think it is really helpful to be very clear on what you're addressing, be that with a physical product, or be that with a service or a membership or anything that it is that you offer. You know, bear in mind how it will work for people. And if it can solve a problem that they're already aware of, your marketing is going to be even easier. The next point is that I diversified my income, but I'm also discerning with what I offer. So my last episode actually got me a lot of really sweet feedback, and it seemed to really resonate with people. I talked about how I think sometimes having too many offerings can really harm your business. And I talk a little bit more there about what I've been offering over the years and what I'm offering now and why. But I will just say here that very early on, and I think 2016, 17, I started offering courses, for example. I offered hourly tech support. I ran group programs. I had a Patreon at one point. Still do, actually, but in a different version. And basically, I never relied on just one kind of income, and I think that really gave me confidence. It allowed me more flexibility to kind of shift between different things that were right for me at different times. But especially now, and especially in the last few years, I've also let things go that didn't work for me anymore. So for example, I facilitated the livelihood community for 4.5 years, which I absolutely loved doing, and I can really see some version of it coming back in my future. But at the moment, I'm taking a break from this large group facilitation because I kind of need to replenish my own well. I need to be part of other groups and kind of see what I need from them. And yeah, I'm just taking a break. And, you know, that's totally fine, because I have other income streams and it's never been just one thing. And I think that's been really helpful. The next bit is also really close to my heart, which is that I consider rituals and time in nature to be a part of my work and practice. So where do I even start for in my white love for these things? I think in the beginning, when I was starting out, I really thought of myself as like a quite techie person, you know, a web designer, but also someone who's really into hippie shit, call it woo, whatever. I love being in nature. I love, you know, I wrote a whole book about rituals, basically. And it's one of my most favorite things to do in life. And I think it was easy initially to think of this time as kind of, you know, time that I would kind of carve out for myself, or like little treats that I would have here and there. And really, the further I went into my business journey, the more I understood that those things are absolutely essential for me to make good decisions with clarity in my work. They're nurturing my creativity, they're giving me a sense of peace and rest and alignment, and so they're really super important, and I wouldn't go a week without them, essentially. And I think, you know, maybe on paper what I'm doing hasn't changed so much, but it's been a really good mindset shift for me to acknowledge these things as part of my work rather than extra treats. The next point is I left social media. I think I wonder sometimes if I had stayed on social media, if perhaps at some point it would have just gotten so overwhelming and detrimental to my mental health that I maybe would have just put down my business altogether. That is possible, I think. Sounds a little bit dramatic, but I really think that was the right choice for me. I left for the first time as a trial for half a year in 2019, and then I left completely in 2020. I've never looked back. I found other ways of expressing myself, building community, sharing my work, and really freed up so much energy and headspace for me to pursue other things that I really care about. Next point is I decided against city life. So this maybe sounds like more personal, but let me explain how actually I think that has a lot to do with how I work now and the freedom that I have in that. So I was born in a village of like 200 people, tiny, tiny place in the north of Germany. And when I was 5, my parents divorced and we moved to Hamburg. We lived in an inner city environment, a really busy place, a huge city. Very crowded. And I think it was the right thing for my family for a lot of different reasons. But I think my mom had quite a hard time leaving the village. And I think the things she experienced there were quite difficult for her. It wasn't particularly well received that she left my dad, for example, and some of the other things that were important to her, I think she didn't find a lot of resonance with. So for me growing up, the story was really big that to live in a city was to be your true self and to be able to find community and to be able to feel safe and like you have a sense of belonging. And I really understand, you know, why that was true for us as a family at the time. But I also later in life realized that I'm really actually, for all kinds of other reasons, not a city person at all. I so easily get overwhelmed. I really love being able to walk everywhere, which, you know, physically I'm not really able to do all the time right now. But as a vibe, I love that. I love not getting on an underground train. I love not being on multiple buses every day. I need a lot of quiet. And so for me, I really found that I'm not a city person, actually. Surprise. And I think that has really had a big impact on how I've built my financial reality now, because when I was still living in Brighton, which is a city in the south of England, I paid over £700 in rent for a tiny, tiny house. It was, if you imagine tiny houses on YouTube, you know, or Pinterest, it was kind of half the size, and it was the only way that I could afford living by myself, which felt really important to me, especially at that time. And I could have just never imagined owning my home in the south of England, which is just way more expensive than the north or the middle of Scotland where I'm now. And so yeah, in 2019 I took the leap. I moved to Fife, which is on the east coast in Scotland, and I'm now living in a small town, and then I own my home, which in comparison was extremely affordable, and I have a good chance of paying it off quite soon. And that obviously made a huge difference to how I feel safe in the world, how I feel able to work part-time, how I feel able to kind of meet my health challenges with some sense of peace, knowing that I have safe housing now. I will probably always be able to afford it. Things are really different. And also my sensory environment is really different. I'm not stressed out as much anymore as I was when I was living in the city. I also feel more connected because being able to spend time in nature and the landscape, or being with friends, or getting in on a train and going to Edinburgh have become much easier for me now, where I compare that when I lived in Berlin, for example, or in London, or in Brighton, or in Amsterdam, leaving the house and navigating public transport and really traveling across the city was often so exhausting to me that when I got to where I wanted to go, I wasn't really present anymore, if that makes sense. So city time for me is now something that I very rarely have, but when I do have it, I do also really enjoy it. But anyway, I think that deciding against city life and really thinking about living costs and what's important to me in life, and you know, how can I create a life that is sustainable and fairly lightweight financially, has made a big difference to my resilience in business as well. The next point is that I committed to ways of sharing and marketing that feel right for me, and I stuck with them. So as I said, I left social media in 2020, and really fairly early on in 2016, I recognized or realized by playing really that I love podcasting. So I've been doing it for so many years now. And it gives me this like joy and confidence and playfulness in the process. I'm not second guessing myself so much anymore. I'm not forcing myself to make videos or reels or Instagram graphics or whatever. You know, I just do the thing that I really enjoy doing, and people seem to enjoy participating in that. And that is just great. It makes my marketing so much easier. It makes me feel connected and creatively expressed. And I'm just so grateful for this technology and that I found it. My next point is I set clear boundaries with my clients, and that's something that I think I really had to learn the hard way. Initially, when I was starting out, my agreements with people were much more vague. I did obviously quote them and I sent them an outline of what I was offering, but I didn't have the detailed contracts that I now have. And I think that is actually really good for both me and my clients, for everyone involved to really understand, you know, what is the exchange? What can they expect? What can I expect? What's the timeline going to be? What is our responsibility if something changes, if we need more time, or if we need to book additional pages, for example? I outline all of that now, and it makes my work so much easier. I never stress about delays anymore, or, you know, any kind of sense of there being a lack of clarity around my workload, because I have these very clear boundaries and agreements in place. And I wish I had done that sooner. Okay, three more points to go. My next one is that I'm really generous and honest. And I was kind of hesitant about saying that, because obviously that's like weird and awkward to toot your own horn in that way. But I think these two things really are values I've always had. With honesty, I mean that I really am trying hard to not be manipulative in my marketing, to be very transparent about and upfront about sales, for example, about what's coming up, giving people time and freedom to make good decisions for themselves. And generosity for me are things like, you know, I do a certain number of free websites or tech days each year. I often support fundraisers in that way. If people approach me and it feels right, and that, you know, it feels just like a kind question, about whether they can have access to something I offer, even though they can't pay for it, I usually say yes. And I feel good about that. I found a way of kind of being in that middle ground where I'm holding boundaries and I'm respecting my own time and energy. I'm not overextending myself, but I'm also trying to really remove barriers to the work that I'm offering and to be generous whenever I can. My next point is that my running costs are really low. It's funny, I listened today to a podcast episode where someone shared their turnover and the net profit, and kind of went over what kind of running costs this person has for their business. We're so grateful for that, because I think we rarely ever do that, and it can feel really illuminating, you know, to look behind the scenes and shame money in that way. Super fascinating. But it made me realize that my running costs have been consistently really low in my business, and that feels right for me at this time, and it has pretty much from the beginning. So at the moment, I'm spending £121 per month on software. So that's stuff like Podia, which is where I run my courses, hosting for my website, domain, my premium Canva account. I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch of things, but you know, those are software subscriptions. But because I don't have a team, and I have some insurance costs, so I have public liability insurance, of course. But overall, it's really not a ton. So £121 per month, that's insurance and software subscriptions. And I feel the sense of lightweightness in my business, because even in periods where I had to, you know, very spontaneously take time off, such as after my accident in 2020, I didn't have these huge running costs that would have made that really difficult and scary. And I also have that sense of kind of playfulness and experimentation. And like, you know, I can take risks because I don't have a team that I'm responsible for. I don't hire people usually to help me out. And there are, of course, huge downsides to that as well. I know some people really produce their podcasts in incredibly beautiful ways. And I would love to, you know, I would love to just have a nicer intro right now. I'm going to be honest there. But at the end of the day, it's not top of my list right now. What is important to me that I am consistent in my own way in my podcasting practice, that I continuously come to you with useful information and storytelling and encouragement. And, you know, sure, I will eventually get to recording a new intro. And that would be great, you know, but I also feel really good about being able to edit everything myself right now. I don't have help with my newsletter, or when I run courses, I run them myself, because they're small enough groups. And it just feels like I have a real sense of intimacy with my business. And I think for some people, building a team is really beautiful and definitely the right thing. If you're a team person and you love being in groups, that's great. Also, there's so much that can be done in like really being thoughtful about the working conditions we create for other people. That can be healing, I'm sure, in some ways. For me, I think that is not the work that I'm here to do at this stage. To be honest, I think that's just a totally different job, to manage a team and really think about their well-being and be responsible with that power of paying them. Yeah, I don't know. I have never really thought about that, because I've always been really content just working for myself, by myself, and collaborating in more fluid ways. Obviously, I do love working with other people, and I do sometimes work with teams when they hire me as a group. But that's kind of all I need. That feels satisfying to me, basically. And so far, there haven't been major parts of my business where I felt like I needed to hire something out. I'm not totally against it in the future, but right now I'm just looking at my £121 per month that I'm spending as my running costs, and I'm just so pleased that most of my turnover is also my profit. Okay, the last point, I'm oriented towards joy and pleasure in my business. Oh, yeah, that is so important to me. I just listened to the audiobook Pleasure Activism by Adrienne Marie Brown again, and I can so highly recommend it. It really affirmed so many things for me that I've been thinking about in the last 2 years, and just the sense of, you know, I am pragmatic in a way. I work because I want to have a nice, gentle life with integrity. I want to be able to take time off, have fun, enjoy my relationships, enjoy my body, my home. I want to be able to make meaningful contributions. I want to be able to be an activist in a way that's accessible to me. And I want sometimes really small things. Like yesterday, I got a really nice pair of leggings, you know. They fit me well. I love wearing them. They're so comfortable. And I was thinking today, like, actually, maybe, you know, being able to wear elevated loungewear, as my friend Liz and I like to call it, every day can be a business goal. Why not? Because it feels really good. I'm so glad that I don't have to work out in the world in an office anymore, where there are certain expectations around like appearance and conduct and professionalism that I would find quite hard to meet, actually. So yeah, that is my little list. I'm still here, 9 years later. I'm still making a good living, sharing what I see with you, my beloved listeners. And that makes me really happy. So yeah, we're 24 minutes in, I can confirm I no longer feel like it is the full moon and the first day of my period. So thank you again for listening and for supporting my work. If you want to share this episode or any other one, I would so appreciate that. And I'm wishing you a beautiful weekend.